Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World. I'm Jim Galante. He is Landon Tengwall. How are you doing this week, Landon?
Doing fantastic, Jim. It's a hot one on the East Coast. We're up in the 90s, so I hope everybody is staying hydrated and making sure they are taken care of, especially if you're getting out there and playing golf like me and Jim.
Exactly. By the way, Landon, I love the warm weather, and here is my rule. You can't complain about the heat if you're complaining about the cold in the winter. One or the other, okay? I choose to complain about the cold weather during the winter. I am not going to complain about the warm weather. You got swimming pools. You've got air conditioning, golfing. Hey, you're riding a car. It's shaded. You keep yourself hydrated. Listen, there should be no issues, Landon.
I agree, Jim. That's coming from you. I'm a 300-pound man that if I just step outside in 95-degree weather, I just start to just feel sweat drip down my forehead. So I'll leave my commentary alone since I can't complain about both. But so I'm a fan of the summer, but when we start to get into the 90s, as a big dude, if any other big dudes can relate, it's not as fun when you're carrying a handkerchief around, wiping your forehead down.
All right, I'll make that allowance for you, Landon. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda State College. We've talked to you about this before. Fantastic place. I am a customer. I bought my fantastic 2024 Honda CR-V there. I had to travel out of the area to get there, but it was well worth it. They had the best deal. They had the best buying experience. It was fantastic. They carry a great inventory of new vehicles, including the 2024 Honda CR-V, with financing rates as low as 3.9%. They also have an amazing selection of pre-owned vehicles. They're available for immediate delivery. Check them out. West College Avenue is the showroom, or go to Bobby Rahal Honda of StateCollege.com. Not only do they have Landon, my CR-V, the Civics, the Ridgeline truck that you like so much, they also have the little scooters. What are they called?
The Honda Moto Compacto, Jim.
I will get to – that's your role. You will always help us out with that. They are incredible. You got to check those out, especially if you want to get around campus. They would be fantastic for that. All right, Landon, for folks who may be a little bit new to our show, who are used to our other Keystone Sports Network shows, where we talk primarily Penn State football – this, we call it Landon and Jim versus the World, because we take on anything, especially in the sports world, whatever is particularly hot. And I know you and I, we're both into golf right now. And the U.S. Open, what a tournament. Incredible. DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy battling it out on Sunday afternoon. That's the way a major championship is supposed to be. And Landon, Rory had it essentially in his pocket and down the stretch missed multiple little putts. I think he had made like 7,500 putts in a row within 5 feet and then misses a couple of them down the stretch. My question to you is, you're fairly new to golf. So when you see a pro, one of the best in the world, miss a couple putts like that down the stretch, I want to know what your reaction to it is. Are you just, hey, they're just like me, I could miss one of those? Or is it, my God, he's a pro, he choked, how could that happen?
Jim, I relate to everybody. I say, man, that could be me, because I love to push my 3 foot my 3 foot putts as well. I'll push them. I won't get it done. It's a problem. So I can relate to these guys that are having some types of yips when they putt a little bit. So I can't put too much criticism on Rory, but it's kind of crazy. You're right. I think it was like 423 for 423 this year so far on 3 foot putts, the past 2 years for Rory. So he hasn't missed a putt inside 3 feet. And Yeah, I mean, it just looked, if you watch it, it looks, he just didn't hit it hard enough. It wasn't like he pushed it or anything like that. He just, you know, those greens, we've seen how bad those greens are all week, and you can just get punished by them. And I don't, just don't think he put enough on it. But it, that's got to be rough, because Rory, he will, I mean, he just consistently finishes top five, top 10, and he just can't win at the moment. So you got to feel for him. It's rough. But I'm a big Bryson DeChambeau fan. My girlfriend makes fun of me because I watch his YouTube constantly. So I get made fun of for being a big Bryson DeChambeau stan, as we call him. I'm like his biggest fan. I love watching him. He does YouTube. He does TikTok. So he really tries to assimilate with the younger generation too. So I think he's doing a good job bringing a younger generation into golf as well, because he kind of has this fun, cool personality, where first he kind of got labeled someone that maybe wasn't, you know, exactly what the game was looking for. But you see, he took the trophy around. He let every fan that was on 18th hole touch it. It's just, he's a very fun guy. So I was happy to see him win his second U.S. Open. But, yeah, you got to feel for Rory, Jim. But in that circumstance, I can't say that I wouldn't do the same thing as Rory, because I remember I had my first eagle putt the other day at Mountain View, a course up here. And it was about a 10-foot eagle putt, but I was so nervous that I only hit it to about 6 feet. So I had a 6-foot birdie, ended up making it. But I can feel that when the pressure's on, it's on, Jim. So, you know, it's, and then shout out to Bryson DeChambeau too. Not as many people are talking about that bunker shot that I saw. I think it was a 55-yard bunker shot. And I believe it was 1.7% chance that he put that bunker shot within 3 feet. And he did put it within 3 feet and then finished off the par. And then Rory obviously bogeyed.
Well, yes. And I think that has to be remembered, that under that same kind of pressure, he got up and down when he had to win the tournament. And Rory did not. And Rory even got more chances at it. I mean, he missed a small one and then he missed it again. I got a phone call just as he was lining up that putt on number 18. I went to take it. And I assumed I'd come back and, you know, he'd still be, you know, he had made it. And then I'm looking at the scoreboard and wait a minute, he's not minus six. He's only 5 under. And I'm like, what happened? Did he miss that? Obviously he did. So I want to ask you though, Landon, about his reaction, Rory, after the fact. Let me quickly give you my take on it. PR for these professional athletes is about the easiest thing in the world, okay? It really should be so easy. He just chose to wrap things up. He got out of town as quickly as he could, didn't talk to the press. All he had to do, Landon, and it was very easy. After the tournament ends, you go out, find DeChambeau, shake his hand, congratulate him. You stand in front of the media, as tough as it is, it's very emotional, for a couple minutes, and you just say, I didn't finish the job. I should have been able to do it. No excuse for it. Hopefully I'll learn something from it. I'm going to come back. Watch me next month in the Open. Hopefully I'll fix things, and you'll see me back at the top of the leaderboard. That's it. That's all he had to do, Landon.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jim. I don't think ducking the media, and especially forget the media. I mean, if he wants to not talk to the media afterwards, I mean, it's okay, I guess, in my eyes. But not shaking Bryson's hand, that to me is the number one thing. That you just, golf is a, and this is what I've learned over the past year or so, Jim, it is a classy game that has rules that you follow. I mean, this is not football. You need to go shake, you know, take your hat off at the end and go shake your opponent's hand. So I just, you know, that kind of, and he's, you know, he put that in at the end of, you know, Rory's message. Rory just put out a message on social media basically stating that this was the worst moment of his 17-year career, and that he, you know, he's really just not feeling good about himself. He needs to take a couple weeks off. And then at the end, he congratulates Bryson. But instead of doing all that, like you said, could have just addressed that at the course and could have gotten all that handled, would have taken 5-10 extra minutes. And then he could have been on his way. But at the same time, you have to kind of put yourself in his shoes of where he's been just that close so many times these past couple years at these majors, and he just cannot seem to finish off the job. So I think that frustration, And you saw there was video of him in his little whatever that room was, as kind of his dressing room, where he was watching Bryson finish off on 18. And when he saw Bryson sink the putt, just turned around, went straight to his car. And so, you know, I can't fully blame him for having that reaction, but I don't think that helped his image. Obviously, you know, he's been in the media recently with the divorce of his wife, and now they said they're not getting divorced. And now there's a bunch of jokes, you know, floating around, and people are making fun of him. Oh, she's going to divorce him again, you know, that type of stuff. So I think when you do that, when you react that way, you kind of invite that scrutiny in. Instead of just taking it like a man, people will respect you a little bit more, go out, shake his hand, talk to the media. So I'm right there with you, Jim. But I do say that I understand his frustration and why he just got right out of there.
I do. I understand the emotion to it, and having lost the way he did. But you framed it initially as golf is a gentleman's game. The honorable thing would have been you walk outside, you find DeChambeau, you shake his hand, you embrace him, you congratulate him. I'm not talking about doing the honorable thing. I'm talking about doing the smart thing, Landon. Mm. And he's been in the spotlight long enough. He should be smart enough to understand how much he is under the microscope. Okay. I saw this in Great Britain. They had the trooping of the color thing. And they literally have lip readers watching these people, and they report on what they said, okay, to each other on the balcony. That's how much of a microscope. So you've got to know, you know, this is happening. Rory's got to know that he's under the microscope, but he's also got to know this is a very simple fix. Shake the guy's hand and everybody calls me, you know, the greatest sportsman around.
Yeah. No, yeah, it is easy, but it is different looking at it from a standpoint of golf versus like a team sport. So I think like there's that piece of it. Cause when, you know, you play in a football game and you have a bunch of teammates, you know, maybe you messed up on a play, but not everybody, you know, contributed the same. Some people messed up more, you know, you don't have to take that full responsibility. He had to take that full responsibility. He missed that putt. There was no blame to put elsewhere. It was all on him. So I think that sits a little bit harder on him.
I'm sure it does. And I'm not going to take away the fact that this was a very emotional loss. I'm just saying, you've been doing this long enough. You're not 21 years old now. You're old enough, been around enough. All right, Landon, that's it for quarter number one. We got lots more to go. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon. Jim, we're talking about everything in the sports world. Of course, there was the U.S. Open this past weekend. We're talking about Rory's reaction afterwards. And I think we both, Landon, felt like he could have handled it much better. My take is he's a veteran. He should know better. He's had the microscope on him for so many years. But it leads me to this one question. What was your toughest loss to ever have to deal with?
That's a good one, Jim. I would say I didn't play in the game, but that 9 overtime loss to Illinois was pretty rough. Because that was kind of like the depths of that season. That was the 2021 season. I was a freshman here. And I believe that might have been our – we ended up losing, I think, 6 games that year, including the bowl game. That might have been our 4th or 5th loss. And it was just kind of, you know, I guess I'm sure I had losses that hurt more because there was more on the line. But that was just kind of what that represented, I think, for a lot of fans. If you think back to that day, if you're a Penn State fan, that day hurt pretty bad just because what it was. I mean, it was just like a comedy of errors. And, I mean, 9 overtimes, Jim. I mean, that doesn't ever happen. So to be a part of that was pretty sad. That's kind of one of those ones where you get into the locker room and nobody really knows what to say. You kind of just look at each other and shake your head. So I'd have to put that up there. I've had a couple playoff losses in high school, but that one, that was what stuck out to me. When you said that, at Illinois 2021 jumped out. Just a heartbreaking loss to lose in that type of fashion to a team that you're not really supposed to lose to either.
I'm glad you brought up that particular game, and I'm going to tie it into this coming season. There's some talk about when the whiteout game is going to be, and there's some talk of it being the Illinois game. And there's been you don't waste it on a team like Illinois. But you know what? Take back that memory of that game, Landon. And use that as motivation if they were to make that the whiteout. And I'm not talking about just the players. I'm also talking about the fans. You know, this is a way to take out all that frustration from, 3 years ago and take it out on Illinois this year. What do you think?
I like it, Jim. I like the idea. I don't know if Franklin's going to listen to you there. Well, look, I mean, it has been clear. Franklin says every year, you know, we're going through it. We're going to figure out what's the best opponent. But it's been clear that we are going to play a night game whiteout. I just don't think they're going to make it a day game. It's going to have to be in Illinois. It's going to have to be kind of a lesser team. Now, people kind of have a problem with that. But, I mean, for the most part, that's what it's been these past couple years. That's just, you know, with Iowa, Minnesota, you know, we've had a couple blowout whiteouts, you know, almost non-scoring whiteouts for the other team. You know, is that a big problem? I don't know. It sucks that Fox and, you know, everything that's going on, basically, you know, Big Noon Kickoff has made it so we really can't play. You know, obviously we don't play Michigan this year, but we can't play in Ohio State. We can't play even, you know, I would like to even see something like UCLA. I think people enjoyed the Auburn being a whiteout just because it was something new and different. But to say, you know, to say that we can't do an Illinois this year, it's like, hey, we've done Minnesota, we've done Iowa. What's the big deal if we also, you know, kind of stay around that middle tier type of team? But you're right, I would absolutely love to see something like a UCLA or like a Washington, someone different. Let's spice it up. If it has to be kind of more of a middle of the pack team, let's make it someone we haven't really seen in a while. You know what I mean? But I mean, that's hard. I don't know if they also they'll let, you know, a team from the West Coast. I don't know how many late games they want to do. There's a lot of logistics into it, but you know, I think fans want to see a competitive whiteout. We've only lost one whiteout, I think, in the past, like, it's been a little while in the past, like, eight or nine years. We've only lost one. So it's clearly a weapon. Let's use it against a good team, Jim.
Well, just to give the counterpoint to that, it doesn't necessarily mean we beat Ohio State during whiteouts. But I'm going to do something I don't often do, Landon. I'm going to compliment somebody in Penn State administratively, okay? So take note of this. It doesn't happen very often. I believe that the whiteout game has to be a night game for the look, for the atmosphere. I'm kind of okay with it earlier in the year because as much as, yeah, I think it's helpful for the team, I think it's about the fans and the fan experience. And if you remember, some of those whiteouts that were early, like against Auburn and specifically against Minnesota, it was an unusually beautiful day that day. Tailgating was incredible because the weather was so good, okay? And it made an average game something special. Now, here's where I'm going to compliment somebody in the administration. What I could see them doing for the Ohio State game, if it's at noon, do that helmet stripe game, which is just one little blue stripe along the 50-yard line. So in other words, 95%, if not more, the fans are wearing white. It's a whiteout in everything but name, Landon. And this is Ohio State. The crowd's going to be jacked up anyway. It's going to have the look and feel and appearance of a whiteout anyway. So I don't have as big a deal if they don't choose, you know, a day game against Ohio State as the whiteout. this helmet stripe, whoever came up with that idea, kudos to them, Landon.
Yeah, I think there are, you're right. There are other ways to make the Ohio State game a little bit special and get the fans involved a little bit more than just a normal game. But yeah, I think I see some people say, hey, let's just not even have a whiteout if we, and I'm like, oh, that's probably the worst idea I've ever heard. I'm like, that is Penn State football, the whiteout. So, you know, hopefully in the near future that we can get this figured out where we can get elite opponents at night, because like you said, it has to be at night. That's why it looks cool. That's why it's unique. I've seen some people say maybe if it's a November game and it's a 3:30 game, you know, the sun will set by 5. We could, you know, obviously for kickoff, it'll still be light, but we could do kind of a 3:30 November game. But I don't know if a whiteout is as lucrative in late November in Happy Valley, Jim. I mean, it could be dang near snowing up here. So I don't know if we want that, but it'll be interesting and fun to see. Coach Franklin says to the media that he has a good idea of who it's going to be. So I guess we will definitely see shortly.
We'll find out soon enough. But I'm also, that's the other part of it, the weather thing. I don't like November for the whiteout. The cold weather, it's harder to wear white, although I know more people are finding the heavy white winter jackets. And it's why, Landon, my issue mostly is with the TV networks and the conference. Why can't the conference schedule a big game earlier in the season to accommodate the whiteout? I know some people are tired of hearing me say this. They accommodate Michigan and Ohio State every year, whatever they want. The whiteout to me is a big enough deal. I mean, it's a national story, the whiteout. It's a big deal, Landon. Big Ten conference scheduler, accommodate that. You know, why not schedule Washington in October at home, where it's a good team, they would be new to the whiteout, the fans would really be into it. That's not hard to do with the schedule, Landon. It's not. Like I said, they accommodate Michigan and Ohio State every single year. Why can't they do that?
Yeah, I think there is sometimes it feels like it's pulling teeth to make good things happen. That's everywhere. It's like, you know, something makes sense with the NCAA or, you know, whoever's scheduling. Hey, let's do the opposite. Let's make it as hard as possible. So that's what it feels like, honestly, from a fan standpoint or even a player standpoint. But, you know, hopefully we get a decent opponent. It ends up being a good game. Wish it could be Ohio State. I remember being at the 2019 Michigan whiteout. Obviously, everybody remembers 2016 whiteout and a couple other whiteouts that we probably should have beaten, you know, Ohio State as well. I believe that was, 2018? Some of those sting to talk about. I wasn't there for those when you asked me my worst loss earlier, but I think about being, I think up 11 to Ohio State with, I think, 5 or 6 minutes left. That's got to be up there too, Jim.
Well, as Penn State fans, yes, those losses to Ohio State when you had them down, you had them beat. It was like being Rory McIlroy. You had the lead late, and you couldn't finish it out. Those losses, they sting, Landon. Now, for this year, and on a personal note, when they talk about the different potential games, Illinois, if they pick Illinois, I won't be upset because it's September, the weather will still be nice. It's all about the tailgating then. If it ends up UCLA, and this is where my personal bias comes in, I've got a wedding in the family on that day, Landon.
Oh, Jim, who did that? Who did a Saturday wedding in the fall?
I don't want to throw them under the bus on the air, but when is it that people have not learned the rule? You do not schedule weddings on Saturdays in the fall. How is it people don't realize that?
That should be written into the Constitution. No Saturday fall weddings. It should be against the law. I don't understand why it happens. Half the people there are going to search for a TV or they're on their phone streaming a game. So they're not even present mentally. So let's go ahead and on these brides for everybody. Let's be nice to us here and help us out a little bit. So poor Jim. So no matter what, you'll be watching. Sounds like you'll be watching. You said Washington. You'll be watching on your phone no matter what.
No, UCLA.
UCLA. Okay.
And you know, let me give you two quick two quick wedding stories that tells you probably something about my family. About, oh gosh, how many years ago? 7, 8 years ago. Penn State, Ohio State, wedding in the family, okay? I'm at the reception. I'm getting out my phone to start watching, and my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, starts to give me hell for it. And as she's doing that, her husband, my brother, comes walking over. What's the score? When he starts doing that. And I look at her and she just, never mind. And the other one, just to show you how far back this goes, this had to be about 40 or 50 years ago, okay, before Penn State even joined the Big Ten. My uncle was a Penn State professor in the church. His sister was getting married. He had, and you may not know what this is, but a transistor radio. He stayed in the back of the church, and he had the little earplug in so he could listen to the game while his very own sister was getting married. Loads of respect to my uncle for that, Landon.
That's a baller move right there, Jim. That's an alpha move. I love that. That shows how serious not people take college football, and not only college football, but Penn State football.
He set the tone for the rest of us, Landon. All right, that is it for quarter number two. Lots more to go when we get back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. You know, I'm a customer. I got my fantastic Honda CR-V there. Best deal going, best buying experience. They treat us fantastic every time we head over there. If you're looking for a great Honda vehicle, whether it's my CR-V, the Civic, the Ridgeline truck, they've got them all. Fantastic vehicles. Just check them out at Bobby Rahal Honda of StateCollege.com or visit them in the showroom on West College Avenue, like Landon and I always do. We check them out. Always a good time over there. And we're just waiting for Landon to drive that Ridgeline home, aren't we?
We are. I thought I took it out of the lot for a second, Jim. I told you. I said last week I drove it out for a second. I thought I was going to keep going. But I'm going to go back and take a ride on a scooter, on a Honda Moto Compacto here for my lunch break in a little bit.
We got to get that video out.
We do.
It's incredible. A lot of fun. All right. Let's move on, Landon. It would not be a Landon and Jim versus the World show without talking about Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes. Landon, I wanted to get your take on this. The story came out this past week. I guess a couple of the players talked about this. They had Coach Prime, a requirement of the team, to go to a concert. To go to a concert, Landon. What's that all about? And as a player, how would you react to that?
Yeah, so, I mean, Deion came out and he said that was false. So, both sides are saying two different things. I would tend to lean towards the fact that he probably did make it somewhat mandatory. And what it was a Lil Wayne concert. And Lil Wayne and Deion Sanders are very close. So Shador Sanders, who is a quarterback, and there is this rule that goes back ages. If you're a ball player, you want to be a rapper. If you're a rapper, you want to be a ball player. So that's kind of how it works. So Shador wants to get up and perform his god-awful music. I'll say that. I'll just say that off bat. It's not good. It's quite awful. And so it seems like Deion Sanders said to the rest of the team, hey, you guys need to come to this concert. Shador's opening up for Lil Wayne. you have to be there. It's, you know, mandatory event, which I think is pretty ridiculous because he wouldn't have done that for anybody else. If it was anybody but his son, there's no way you're making a concert mandatory. It's just not happening. So I can see why that made some players angry. And it already feels like they're playing. I've seen the word daddy ball be thrown around, where Shador is just getting all this type of favoritism from Deion Sanders. And I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. And I feel, you know, when you're on that team and you go there, you kind of have to expect, hey, I'm going to play for Deion Sanders. There is going to be a level of, you know, prime time. That, I mean, that's it. It's going to be a level of that there where it's kind of some ridiculous stuff going on. And that's, I think that's kind of the stuff that's going to go on. You're going to have to go to a mandatory Lil Wayne concert that's opened up by your starting quarterback. I mean, I guess when you want to go there, that's the type of stuff you have to expect, Jim. But it, overall, as a whole, I wouldn't go. I mean, maybe I'd go because I did go. Drake and Lil Wayne were here, and I did go and see that. So maybe I'd go to see Lil Wayne, but I don't know if I'm going to see Shador Sanders open up with whatever the heck he's spewing out of his mouth because it's nothing good.
You know, the idea I have, your starting quarterback is a rapper. Just let's translate that to the Penn State world. Do you picture Drew Aller leading off for a rap artist?
No, I don't think I can imagine that, Jim. I think, no, when you put it like that and then, like, say Franklin's like, everybody has to go to this. It's like, no, that would never, ever happen here. So, you know, definitely a different culture on, you know, the other side of the United States. So, well, kind of. They're more, you know, in the middle. But it's something different, clearly. And, you know, hey, Colorado now has tens of millions of more dollars coming in because of Deion Sanders and Shador coming there. So there is that trade-off. If you want that for your university, a university that otherwise would still probably go 2-9 every single year, hey, that's a trade-off you take. And then, but then, I mean, you look at the transfer portal and Colorado leads, they lead the pack. I think it's with 44 transfers coming out. I mean, there's 84 scholarships, Jim. That's more than half of their team transferred out this past year. That's a pretty, and I'm sure they're replacing it plenty fine. And he is sculpting it the way he wants. And I'm sure that was just after year one. So I'm sure there was some guys that probably were on the team that were still originally on the team. Cause you know, when Deion came in, he said, hey, we're going to clear house. If you're not up to standard, we're going to kick you out. I'm sure some guys kind of stayed around that weren't necessarily up to standard, but they needed some people to stay. So I'm sure now they're really cleaning house because people and recruits and these guys in the transfer portal, they've seen what Deion's doing and they've seen how much money is coming into that program. So I'm sure that's part of it, but it sounds like they at least social media claims they lost a couple guys on the team that this was their last straw, that them being, you know, mandatory, this concert, they're done, it's over, you know. But I think this is where you start to lose guys. And this is all fun and good, and Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders, that's cool. It's storylines, that's all you're going to see at the beginning of, you know, the college football season. But when you really start to talk about a locker room and winning games and going against real teams, and we're just talking truly on the field, this is that type of stuff that makes you a clown show, and just you're not going to win. They have a ton of talent. So do I think they'll win more than whatever they won? I think 4 or 5 games this past year. I do think they will. But you start inviting this type of activity around your team, I just don't think it's good for the actual program itself. You're just asking to kind of be running a clown show. And that doesn't lead to any type of championships or, you know, winning organization, in my opinion.
Well, if you have an atmosphere where more than half the team turns over by entering the transfer portal, I got to suspect there's something going on there that is not making many players happy. And again, he's replacing them, bringing in that many. But I'm still going to go back to, I could see if Drew Aller or Landon Tengwall was going to have a rap show, I suspect most of that Penn State team would show up in support or just to enjoy themselves.
Well, that's what I think. I don't even know. I don't even know why. I mean, it's summertime, so I think there's a lot of breaks, and it was probably on a weekend. So I'm sure maybe guys on the Colorado team, I mean, they dang near have private jets. So I'm sure they're going all over the place. But I would, like you said, I would think that most people on the team would show up anyways. If my quarterback's opening up for Lil Wayne, I'm gonna go watch. Especially, I'm sure they got great seats. They probably got backstage, you know, all of the above. Why not go watch? But I think once you turn around and make it a mandatory thing, it's almost like, oh, I have to do this? Okay, no chance I'm coming now. I would have came when it was optional, but now you want to make it mandatory. No, I'm good. That completely changes how I feel about the situation. So I'm sure that's kind of what happened. If he didn't make it mandatory, I bet a lot more people probably would have showed up. But it's kind of that rebellious nature in us, Jim, that you tell me I have to do something, and it's, you know, obviously outlandish and kind of ridiculous. I'm going to turn around and say, hey, I don't want to do that anymore if you're going to tell me I have to do it.
Especially when it's the coach's son, okay? Mm. I suspect if, you know, the examples I did with Penn State, James Franklin might bring it up, but we'd probably be laughing as he talked about it, is the way I picture it. And my last thought on this whole thing, like you mentioned, ball players want to be rappers. Rappers want to be ball players. Landon, you're a ball player. Have you ever done any rapping?
No, Jim. I talk to my parents about this pretty often. I am about as unartistic as they come. And that's a standpoint of I can have a little rhythm dancing, but I mean drawing, singing, just really anything that needs creative ability outside of creating content. I'm no good at, Jim. I'm no good. You tell me to draw a dog, I'll give you like a stick figure dog, and you'll laugh. You'll laugh when you see it. So, you know, I have no want or need to have ever be musically inclined. I do love the music, but I do not try to partake myself. And I think Shedeur Sanders should probably take after my advice. If you're interested, go look up on YouTube Shedeur Sanders, you know, singing, rapping. You'll find one of those songs, and then you'll regret that you even looked that up 30 seconds into yourself in listening to that video. So, but please, for some comedic relief, go check out, I guess I'm giving him a little bit of a plug, but you should check out that stuff that he's putting out, because it's no good.
Well, there is something you and I have in common, that last artistic ability. I'm with you on that also. Do you remember the game Pictionary?
Of course.
My family would play that, and the best I could do when having to draw was, like you said, a stick figure, okay? Yep. That's the best I could do. And one time, I think the word that I was trying to do was grandson, okay? So to try to do this, I draw three stick figures, a big one, medium size, and then the little one. And I circle the little one, and I'm playing with my mother on the team, older woman at the time, and she kept saying, grandchild, grandchild. And so now I have to try to differentiate that the grandchild is a male, okay? It's a grandson.
How'd you differentiate that?
Oh, one more stroke of the pen, Landon.
Yeah. There you go. I think she figured it out pretty quick.
She did. She started yelling at me, but she got it, okay? So a little later in the game, I can't recall even what it was. My mother's now drawing, and it was the same kind of clue where it was like differentiated a male, whether like uncle or something, somehow. And as my mother's drawing it, she bursts out laughing ahead of time until finally she puts in that extra line, Landon. And I got the clue. So, but the point of the story, yes, it was a stick figure.
Quite a tangent to go off on about stick figures. But I if anybody has seen Superbad, I don't know if you've seen it, Jim, but Jonah Hill in the beginning of the movie, the things that were the extra line that we're talking about, I know we're getting real kind of behind the scenes, but there's a very funny scene in that movie where he has a notebook full of extra lines. Anyway, let's move on. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, but let's move on.
And you know, that's we are supposed to be talking. I do say we talk about other sports and other things as they come up, Landon. So I guess this was a situation where we did get ourselves off tangent a little bit, but that's all right. When we come back for quarter number four, we're going to go rapid fire, Landon. There are several topics I want to hit. We're not going to stretch it out to a whole segment like we've done these first couple segments. We're going to go rapid fire, get rapid fire answers. We're going to do that as soon as we come back for quarter number four. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. This is where Landon and I, well, we take on anything, mostly in the sports world, but from that last segment, you could tell we can get off on tangents. All right, Landon, we're going to remain a little more focused here in the fourth quarter. We're going to hit several topics that you and I had said we were going to reach out to, so we're going to hit them quickly. Let's start with this. Aaron Rodgers, he's missing summer camp with the Jets, his new team. Why in the world would he be missing camp?
Gosh, so I brought this up to Jim beforehand, and he had no clue what it was. So I said, all right, we have to talk about this on air. I still have yet to explain to Jim what this is. But according to Daily Mail, which can be a little clickbaity, so who knows if this is the full truth, but they reported it, so don't sue me, Aaron Rodgers. This is from the Daily Mail, that Aaron Rodgers is rumored to be away on an ayahuasca retreat instead of attending mandatory mini camp. And so Aaron Rodgers has been vocal. Jim is shaking his head, but putting his hands up. He doesn't know what's going on. Aaron Rodgers has been known to do this previously, and it was reported that in March he went to Costa Rica, also by Daily Mail, that he went to Costa Rica for also an ayahuasca retreat. And Jim, essentially what ayahuasca retreats are, they're normally done in like Southern or Central America where it's legal, and it is a highly potent psychedelic that, you know, makes you see things. You're supposed to talk to spirits, just go, you know, all over. So Aaron Rodgers has been, he's been very vocal about this use of everything that he's been using and says it takes his game to the next level. And that's the reason why he was able to recover from his Achilles so fast, all this stuff there. I don't know if there's any scientific evidence behind any of this. But ever since, it has kind of felt like Aaron Rodgers is really more of just a media headline at this point than an elite quarterback. And you know, I don't know if that's fully fair to say, because he got injured two plays into the season last year. So for the past 2 years, we haven't really seen him, but that's kind of what it's felt like, where he's talking politics or wanting to be RFK's vice president, talking about psychedelics and on going to a psychedelic conference up in Canada, you know, doing all this stuff. And it's like, I mean, does he want to play football anymore? That's kind of what it feels like. But I don't know. It's just, you know, he was one of the best. He's what we call one of the goats of my generation. But it's kind of sad to see him fizzle out this way. I wish if he wanted to go this route and just be crazy like Antonio Brown, just retire then and just go be crazy. Don't try to stay on a team and cause all this kind of mischief and cause problems and be media headlines for your team. Because now I feel bad for the Jets. Like, I think about, like, Olu having to deal with that. And, you know, you answer questions about why is your quarterback on an ayahuasca retreat right now instead of with the team. It's like, what do I say to that?
I think it's buyer beware when you take a longtime quarterback in his last couple of years and bring him into a new team. I know the Buccaneers and Tom Brady say hi, but that's a tough avenue there.
Hey, don't talk down too much. We got Russell Wilson, so hopefully now that's a man that he's on the above. That's a guy that always knows what he's doing. He's in the right place at the right time. He's not on ayahuasca retreats, Jim. So I'm happy with Russell Wilson.
We will find out on that one. All right, here's another one I want to get your take on. Bill Belichick, 72-year-old Bill Belichick, reportedly is dating a 24-year-old cheerleader, former cheerleader. They said they've seen Belichick in Maryland, your home state, at a cheerleading competition with the idea that apparently his squeeze is either performing or coaching in it. And let me just add this. On her, I guess, her Instagram page, she has listed herself as a philosopher and an entrepreneur. 72-year-old Bill Belichick dating a 24-year-old cheerleader, Landon.
Well, it sounds like she knows how to – I don't know. She's had some smarts, clearly, if she's able to find her way into Bill Belichick's wallet, I guess. I hate to do that or to say that off rip, but I actually – so it's funny you say that. So Bill Belichick kind of – I don't know if he grew up there, but his family had a house in Annapolis, Maryland. They were big Naval Academy people. They were always around. And I remember actually when I was around 8 or 9, I saw him in a bagel shop we call Naval Bagel, you know, Naval Academy. It's called Naval Bagel. And I remember seeing him and his wife at the time. They were at the bagel shop. So I didn't even hear that him and his wife got divorced or what happened with that. But I guess some stuff went downhill when he lost Tommy Brady, started going 7-9, and everything went downhill in his personal life. But, you know, you see these headlines and everybody knows what it is, you know, and that's kind of where I start to question. As a man, I don't know. That would hurt. I mean, there's absolutely no way she's with him because she loves him. I'm sorry. I'm just going to put it out there. And that's just not what's going on here. There is no – a 24-year-old does not have the same interest and the same thought process as someone who's in their 70s. It just doesn't go together well. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm being kind of critical of the situation, Jim, but I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny. And it's actually, if you go and watch, and people brought this up on social media, the Tom Brady roast, I believe it was, I don't know if it was Gronkowski, but it was one of the players, Edelman, one of those guys, made fun of the fact, made a joke that we scout the local Foxborough High, you know, cheerleading team or something. And Bill Belichick kind of, you know, gave him like a, you know, threw his hand and was like, shut up. And so it's, and I don't know, maybe that was a dig at, they knew that he was with a young cheerleader. So maybe that was a dig at him, but I did wanted to bring that up. It was cheerleading in Foxborough High School were meant, obviously this girl's 24, but that was kind of the joke that was brought up at the Tom Brady roast aimed at Bill Belichick.
I don't think it was a coincidence, Landon. And you brought this up from the 24-year-old side. What's she doing with the 72-year-old man?
Making
my
money?
Question, yeah. As a 64-year-old man myself, what is a 72-year-old man doing with a 24-year-old cheerleader, okay?
Having and fun?
Well, yeah, well, could I be in support of the more mature women in the world? Okay, if you're Bill Belichick at 72, you could still have like a 50-year-old woman, okay? And yeah. I don't think people would bat an eye at that. And there are plenty of hot 50-year-old women out there, Landon. Maybe not to a 22-year-old, but
well, look, hey, I mean, he's, you know, so what is he? He's probably, that means he's a baby boomer and she's a Gen Z. I mean, we're talking like a three. So, that, I mean, that's like a three-generation separation between the two. So, like I said, I mean, you're three generations apart. And we've seen, we talk about how different the generations are and kind of the ideas and, like, ideologies that each generation kind of falls into a little bit more. It's just, that's so different. A three-generation gap, I don't think they have the same, you know, I can't speak to that, but I just don't see that many similarities, Jim.
Yeah, they wouldn't have the same interest. And like I said, Bill Belichick attending a cheerleading competition. Really? Really, Bill? Come on. Like I said, we'd go rapid fire. Here's the next thing. It seems like these last several weeks, ever since we started this show, Landon, we have been losing legends, icons of sports every week. And last week, it was Jerry West, another basketball player. A couple weeks ago was Bill Walton. And I know Bill Walton, I remember seeing him play in college, then in the NBA. I do not remember Jerry West's college days, but I do remember him in the NBA. Just an absolute incredible player.
Was that black and white? Black and white TV?
No, I'm being serious. No, there was actual color TV with that. And I'll tell you what, if you go back and look at some of those teams that he played on, with Wilt Chamberlain, with Elgin Baylor, I mean, this was a great era of NBA basketball. But speaking of the generations, Landon, it prompted you and I to have the discussion, and old timers will usually support the old time players that, oh, if they played today. But let me just, I'll ask you on the air. Jerry West was listed at 6'3", 175 pounds, played small forward. You know who plays small forward today, Landon? LeBron James. 6'9", 250 pounds. How would Jerry West do in today's game?
Jerry West is a legend. He basically created the pull-up jumper. You know, there was a lot of things that he started. So we got to give him credit. There's a reason why he's the logo. I think, you know, so what was that, the 60s? Put Victor Wembanyama in the 60s, and let's watch him drop basically Wilt Chamberlain numbers every single time, maybe even better. So that's kind of my rebuttal. I think, and even though it's funny, J.J. Redick, who's maybe might be the coach of the Lakers here soon, and this is when Jerry West was, you know, still alive. I think it was a couple months ago, actually. And they were talking. They had a talk. The people on the panel were talking about it. And, you know, JJ basically said, he was like, look, Jerry West was playing against plumbers. These guys were awful. You know, and then Jerry West comes back and he responds. And he basically said, hey, JJ Redick, what the heck did you accomplish in your career? You were a sixth man, and completely just obliterated him. He said, you know, there's a reason I'm the logo. And all, he said all this stuff. So it was kind of funny that Jerry West, you know, very, very shortly before he died, was on the defense of the fact that the NBA was just as difficult back then as it is now. I just, you know, I think even I look at the 80s and 90s, and I think guys now, their skill sets, it's just so different. The training they have, the, you know, nutrition, the understanding now from these, you know, doctors and these team physicians, all these people, there's just different things to allow athletes to get ahead that I just don't think they had back then. I mean, they were smoking cigarettes and drinking beer at halftime, Jim. That doesn't happen now. So, I mean, that just kind of gives you an idea of where we are. I mean, you think about the stuff guys take now. Lawrence Taylor in football, he had something special in his wristband to get him going mid-game. you know what I'm talking about. That's just that type of stuff just doesn't happen now. And that, I mean, that affects dudes. That absolutely changes and alters your game. So I think you put LeBron back in the 60s and the 70s, he's going to dominate. I think even little things, like you look at the transformation of the center position, how like Karl Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid, these guys can like, they can handle the ball and shoot threes now. It's just that, I mean, that's laughable even in like the 90s for a true big man center to be able to handle the ball or shoot threes at all. It just really did not happen. And then you look at the, like I said, these people that are starting to play in the NBA, Giannis, Antetokounmpo, and then I talked about Victor Wembanyama, who are literally aliens, which is like that's his Nike logo, the alien, who seems like he's going to be their next poster child now that LeBron's phasing out. I don't think so, Jim. I don't think those guys back then would be able to compete nowadays.
We're out of time, off the air. I'm going to support the old guys, Landon. We'll see you next time on Landon and Jim versus the World.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.